everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pep Talk, the persuasive evangelism podcast from Solus. Every fortnight, we get together to talk about evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus, with people that we're just longing to hear the message that has brought us life and hope. I'm joined this week by Christy Mayer. Christy, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks, Gavin. It's great to be with you. I don't often get to do this with you. In fact, I think this is our first conversation together, isn't it, on Pep Talk?
So we will either be the dream team or it will be a complete car crash. We will find out. When you co-present with Andy, he always introduces you with some interesting adjectives like my effervescent co-host and things like that. So I was thinking I should introduce you as my erudite and articulate co-host.
No pressure. It's great to be with you, Gavin. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you. I am also delighted to be joined this week by Jonathan Poutney, who is the editorial director at 10 of Those Publishing. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Gavin. Thanks for having me.
That's good. And where are you joining us from today?
I'm in the 10 of Those office in Leyland, which is in central Lancashire.
So I'm up in Scotland, you're in the middle, and Christy is right down there in the south of England. So what does this job involve? You run a publishing house. Tell us what that looks like for you, very briefly.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm responsible for producing all of the in-house resources and books that 10 of Those make. So I run a small publishing team full of brilliant people, production managers and editors and marketers, and we produce gospel resources and books that point people to the Lord Jesus. That's our strapline. We want to produce books that point people to the Lord Jesus.
So Jonathan, what usually goes on in the everyday life, day-to-day life are you an editorial director for 10 of Those? What is the average day like for you?
Yeah, it's a good question, and every day is different. It's a bit of a Swiss Army knife role, really, in many ways. So my role sort of includes commissioning new projects, working with authors on new ideas, and with editors on manuscripts, and I do a little bit of production work as well, and work with our brilliant design team and cover designers to produce new cover artwork for our books, and I do a little bit of international rights work, trying to work with our international partners to get our books into other languages around the world, and so lots of things really. It's a great role to have, something I'm very privileged to do, and something I really enjoy.
But your background is in academia, so you could have gone down that route, but you've chosen to go into publishing and Christian publishing specifically. What was it that drew you into publishing Christian work? How were you kind of called into this?
Yeah, it's a good question, Gavin. I mean, I've always loved books. My background before working in publishing was in academia. I have a PhD in literature, and I taught in a number of different literature departments in the UK, and I really enjoyed that, and it was something that was really in many ways my dream job. But I had an opportunity to take a sort of a step sideways, as it were, into the world of publishing, and thought I'd give it a go, and I'm grateful I did, and have enjoyed it since starting. I love being part of a team that can produce great books, and that really was where my passion lies. So it suits me down to the ground from that point of view.
That's really cool, Jonathan. I don't know you. I mean, obviously, I don't know you very well. We've literally just met, but to hear Gavin say that you have a PhD in literature, that's fantastic. What I imagine some people might be hearing this and thinking, "Wow, you've gone from academic PhD, you're still a super brainy guy, and now you're involved in publishing. Like, what kind of overlap do you see between the two? Like, how does your love of literature, how has that formed your love of books?"
Well, that's very kind, thank you. I don't know how true that is, really, but I certainly was surrounded by very brainy people when I was at universities. But it's writing is a big part of what I'm doing, and working with authors and honing and crafting and communicating clearly. That's all part of publishing. And beyond that, a lot of my research, a lot of the work that I was doing when I was at university was around the history of publishing and the history of how books have been produced in the last sort of 100 years or so, and the trends that took place, particularly in the secular market. But a lot of those sort of traits and ideas transfer into the Christian market as well, of course. So, there's a bit of crossover there.
So in the Christian market, what are some of the books that you have produced that you think are really helpful for people, particularly in terms of getting the gospel out, in reference to that strapline from 10 of those that you shared with us? And what effect do books have on Christian people in terms of encouraging and equipping us in sharing the gospel with other people? And are there a couple of books you've been involved in producing over the last few years and you've thought, now that was a good book? That's done really good work amongst Christian people.
Yeah, it's a great question, Gavin. Thanks. There's two sides to producing gospel resources that we see as a company. The first side is producing resources that encourage the believer in sharing their faith. So the number of titles that we produce that, I look at and think, that's a wonderfully warm and encouraging book that will enable the believer to share their faith. So last year, we had the privilege of producing a book by Jeremy Marshall called Scattering Seeds of Hope. Wonderfully warm book that encourages believers to literally scatter the gospel seed where they go, telling their friends, family, people they meet about their faith. We have more sort of systematic books that do that well as well. We've got a book by an American author called Matt Smethurst called Before You Share Your Faith, 5 principles in how you go about sharing the gospel, but things to think through before you go and do that. And it's, again, a really encouraging read. And other books like that, a book by John Lennox is a similar thing. And so those are reasonably short books, are quite digestible and pretty accessible. And that's the aim, really. We want as many people reading these books so that the church more broadly is encouraged. But the other side of that then is books that you can use in evangelism, books or resources that you can give to people with the gospel message inside, presented in a attractive way that engages with people where they're at. And we've got a wide range of resources that do that and do that in different ways. And I don't know if you want to mention your book, Gavin, but we've got the privilege of a book by you coming out later this year called Have You Ever Wondered, which does that. It really engages with readers on questions that they would have.
I wouldn't dream of mentioning it, but do feel free.
Jonathan, what... But, I mean, that's such a great kind of dual focus that 10 of those have. What have you read like in the past year or so? Maybe it's Have You Ever Wondered, but what have you read in the past year or so that's particularly encouraged you in your own evangelism, in your own sharing of Jesus with others? What have you particularly personally benefited from?
Yeah, I do think the best book we produced in recent times on encouraging believers in sharing your faith is the book I mentioned before, Scattering Seeds of Hope by Jeremy Marshall. That's got a nice pairing in that at the same time we produced another short book called Meeting Jesus by him, which is the kind of the book you might give to a friend or a colleague or a neighbor that looks at a number of different encounters that Jesus has in the Gospels with individuals. And really takes you into scripture and really shows you how Jesus deals with people's problems and issues on a very personal level in the Gospels. But of course, points beyond that to what he's done for us on the cross and through his resurrection. So that's a really nice pairing that I found helpful. One is the kind of the primer. One is the one you can then use to actually give to people.
It's worth mentioning at this point how much everybody misses Jeremy Marshall. We were looking back over 100 episodes of Pep Talk, and I was saying to Christy that one of my favorite episodes was the time that Jeremy was on talking about some of those books and some of the principles that he uses in sharing the gospel. So just thought we should mark that as we go past. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was the changing nature of the way that people relate to the written word. You know, people are not engaging with it in the way that they perhaps used to. I read some research that said that under lockdown, more books were shifting. Is that holding? Are people still engaging? I mean, we're notably at the moment on the Pep Talk podcast. We're putting a lot of words out over the internet and not on the printed page at the moment. So if people are engaging this way, where do books sit and what's their role within the church today?
Yeah, it's a really, that's a very, very interesting question, Gavin. And it seems like for the last few decades, the media in general has kind of been predicting the death of print, but it hasn't happened yet. And the signs are really that published books and printed media continues to be consistently popular amongst people. And I think that is true. I mean, we're all readers for starters, everyone reads, but reading books in particular still holds a lot of cultural sway in our society, I think. The large portions of the population love to read books, and they read in different ways, right? People read at home regularly, before they go to bed, or they read for pleasure in their spare time, or people read on holiday, or people will read books to their kids. That's a big sector of the population that reads. Reading's a big part of our education system still. And so reading books really is something that even now the youngest of generations is doing and is learning and forming habits that will probably last for much of their life. So I do think it's still a big deal. Publishing is still very much a big deal within our culture more generally, but I also think it's a big deal to publish a book. And so in one sense, it's easier to publish a book now more than ever. But I still do think there's an element of kind of, if I can use this word without sounding too over the top, of prestige in publishing a book with a traditional publisher, of having your name on the cover of a book. And now that may be a good thing, that may be a bad thing. I'm not really passing judgment on that, but I do think that is true. And the point of that is, and the reason I'm saying that is because it means that people take notice of books, I think. And so when you give someone a book, an evangelistic book, a book about the Christian faith, I do think they sit up and listen. I do think they take notice of that. So I think this idea, and this is a big part of what we are trying to promote as a company, I have done for the last decade or so, is that there's real value in giving someone a book that contains the gospel. They receive it and think this is something of value. This is something, they say, oh, you really thought of me here. And they hold on to it and they read it and they engage with it. I think that's what we see when we give people books. So, yeah, that's a big thing. That's a big thing that drives us and that we're a part of. But beyond that, we are seeing increasing trends in people giving out tracts and leaflets, which is encouraging. In the last few years in particular, we produced a tract during the pandemic, and well over 750,000 copies of that tract went out across the country. We tend to find that tracts and leaflets in particular work well during big kind of cultural moments, during national kind of cultural moments. So the Queen's Platinum Jubilee a few years ago, again, hundreds of thousands of tracts went out. Again, when she died and passed away, hundreds of thousands of tracts went out. The King's coronation, again, hundreds of thousands of tracts went out. I think 250,000 tracts went out around that time. We produced a lovely little square, full-color book, 50,000 copies went out. It was being passed out in London during the coronation, and we saw these wonderful photos of celebrities who were going to the ceremony holding copies of the book. And so I do think there are great opportunities using printed material and published material, and we've seen good examples of that in the last few years. Yeah, it's very encouraging and lots to be thankful to the Lord for, and we pray on that these tracts and books have a big impact on people's hearts.
The other week, me and Steve Osmond, I think we were recording a conversation with Roger Carswell, and he was mentioning the impact of some of those tracts and how he's already written the leaflet for whenever in the Lord's timing, the King.
Well, yeah. I think he probably shouldn't have passed information on to you, really. But yeah, very good.
Oh yeah, it was public. It's already public. I don't know when that will be aired, but everyone's going to know. Sorry about that, Jonathan. That's fantastic. Are there any stories? Like, do you ever get to hear of like the outcome of some of these? Of the books being put into someone's hands, and then a conversation or a changed life, or through the leaflets. I mean, are there any stories you could share with us that have come about?
Yeah, I mean, probably the most famous sort of story of someone who read a tract and was converted was of course Hudson Taylor, who was saved after he was sort of rummaging through a pile of magazines and leaflets one afternoon because he was a bit bored, and he discovered a tract and thought, well, this is going to have a story in it, so I better read it because this will pass the time, and that resulted in being saved and converted. And but in a more sort of everyday level, we as a company regularly hear from people who write in having read a tract and or a book and say, oh, could I have a gospel, or could I find out more? And very often it's one step on someone's journey towards faith in the Lord Jesus. So we do have pretty regular contacts with people who are writing in and wanting to know more on the back of reading literature.
In terms of getting written materials, whether it's tracts or full books, into the hands of non-Christian people, you often don't see Christian books in high street or secular bookshops. Mm. I'm sure that in every town, though, there are people who are spiritually seeking. But if they go to a bookshop, there's very often nothing there that's going to give them, a clear presentation of the gospel. You might get some woolly spirituality or a whole lot of nonsense all mixed together. So how do we get, as a church, together with you, books that are rolling off your printing presses and into your warehouse out there, because the normal channels to market often don't work for Christian books. So there's clearly a challenge there for us. How do we go about that? Does the church have to be the distributor, retailer, advertiser, and delivery mechanism, or are there other ways that we can get the truth out there and into people's hands?
I think it depends on the type of resource maybe that you want to use. It depends on who you are as an individual and the type of opportunities you may have. But I think there's probably a kind of a sweet spot depending on who you are and the type of thing you're trying to do within that. Let me just give a few ideas of ways that I know people do it. And I'll start with the smaller end, and I'll go to the bigger end if I can go that way. So the smaller end, you know, tracts, we've been talking about tracts, you know, lots of ways of using those. And really, they can be the key to opening up a conversation with someone. So you might want to tell someone about the Lord Jesus, but you're not quite sure how you might do that. You might say something like, hey, would you like just like this short Christian leaflet that tells you a little bit more about what I believe, or what it means to be a believer? But they're also a great key for sort of closing off a conversation. Maybe you have been sharing your faith with someone and you want to say something like, oh, could I just leave you this small Christian leaflet that just explains a little bit more about what we've been chatting about? I don't know, just to sort of quote Roger Carswell again, he's someone who says he loves to use and lose tracts. So he sort of, you know, leaves them on the bus or the train, or he puts them in books in secondhand bookshops or in the library, that sort of thing. And he often quotes Ecclesiastes 11, I think, which says, you know, sow your seed in the morning and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that. And so he has a sense of, well, we'll just kind of drop the seed here or there and the Lord will do the rest. So that's certainly one way. There's more intentional ways, of course. So one brilliant resource that we produce twice a year is a general interest magazine called Life Magazine. It's full of testimonies and gospel stories, but also recipes and puzzles and things that lots of people would enjoy reading. And there are lots of churches who will buy a few hundred copies of that magazine, and they will do a big postcode drop in their area. And so we have facilities for getting a magazine into every single house through the Royal Mail, delivered to a particular postcode, and churches will print their details on the back and maybe add in some details about some services that are coming up. That's another way that churches do it. When it comes to books, you're right, Gavin, people will buy in bulk, maybe 100 copies at a time, and they'll use them during a service or particularly during a season. So at Easter or Christmas, that they're good examples when churches might put a book on every person's chair at a carol service or give them on the way out. Students, universities use them a lot in lunch bars and mission weeks. And again, you know, our desire is to make them as accessible as possible. And so we want to make sure our books are affordably priced so that even your impoverished student can buy a handful and give them to their friends or at a talk. So yeah, that's a few ways. I hope that gives some ideas to people.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. It does. Gosh, 20 minutes has nearly gone by. As we come into land, if any of our listeners wanted to get their hands on any of the resources that you've just mentioned, where should they go?
10ofthose.com. That's our website. And it's full of lots of great resources, and from not just from us, but from other publishers as well. We're keen to get the best of the best out there. So, let me just take this moment to mention Gavin's book again. Have You Ever Wondered? It's a great, great introduction to the Christian faith, and I'd encourage listeners to go and seek it out.
Brilliant. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great to hear about the essential work of books in the Christian life and in the communication of Christ. So thank you ever so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you. And Gavin, it's great to be with you this time as well. Thanks so much. And listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. We look forward to being with you, however you get your podcast, in the next couple of weeks or so with our next guest. Thank you and take care.